You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the podcast network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. Welcome to episode 19 of the Wells Tech Podcast for Wednesday, May 14th, 2008. I'm Martin Spriggs.
And I'm Sally Draper.
And we are your hosts for our weekly chat about technology in ministry. Well, Sally, it's a wonderful day in Milwaukee for a podcast. How about Sleepy Eye, Minnesota?
Yes, we're happy to welcome spring here in Sleepy Eye and looking forward to the big events this weekend at MLC.
Oh, absolutely.
Going to have some technology friends on hand to broadcast live the MLC graduation concert and call day services and those kind of things. So hope to make some connections and get to see you guys in person.
Yep, we will be leaving on Thursday morning to get set up for the commencement concert on Friday evening, the first time we're doing a concert, so I'm a little bit nervous about that because sound is so important, obviously, for a concert. We've kind of shied away from that in the past because of lighting for the most part, but hopefully all things will come together and we'll be able to stream the commencement concert both at Martin Luther College and then the following week the commencement concert at Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary. So check that out for the schedule on streams.wells.net. Look at the live tab. There's four tabs across the top. Just click on the live tab and you'll see all the scheduled events and what time they will be going on. So we're looking forward to getting up to Martin Luther College and doing that. And as a side benefit, I'll be able to attend the groundbreaking for the new chapel up there. It's real exciting.
It is very exciting. They waited till the end of the school year to get started, but I think that the campus is going to be somewhat transformed this summer as they begin work on that beautiful new chapel.
Yeah, I've seen drawings for it. It looks like it'll just be a wonderful addition to the campus. Mm-hmm. So we had a great show last week, and it's going to be tough to beat it this week, but we're going to give it our best shot. As our longtime listeners, at least listeners from last week's show, will remember, we had the privilege of talking about 10 of the many free software titles that were submitted by our listeners. And it's always fun to give something away, and we were able to give away a flash drive to one lucky listener, Danae Whitty of Mayaca City, Florida. We do know we have listeners from all over the country, as evidenced by Danae, but I think we even have some international listeners. So the technology that we're going to talk about today is very timely, and that's video conferencing, something that really wasn't possible just a year or two ago.
Right. The pricing and availability of the hardware and software for video conferencing has basically flattened out, and it's allowing us to do some really creative things to connect with one another all over the world. Just an amazing technology.
Two shows ago, we began a conversation with Gonzalo Degadillo, who makes extensive use of video conferencing for evangelism purposes. And later on the show today, we're going to talk to another Wells member, Dan Numanson, who uses video conferencing for another purpose through Wisconsin Lutheran Child and Family Service, and that's for long-distance counseling. Very interesting conversation we had with Dan, and we're excited to share that with you. But Sally, let's talk a little bit about video conferencing in general and what perhaps its uses are within the context of ministry.
Sure. I think that there's a lot of things that our local congregations and schools can make use of video conferencing in their day-to-day ministry efforts. Things like connecting with people that are far away from the congregation, offering things like distance Bible classes and distance confirmation classes. I know particularly in some of our outlying districts where the Wells churches aren't on every single corner, We have members that are driving maybe 50 miles or more to attend church on Sunday, and bringing their children in for confirmation class in the middle of the week doesn't always work out for those members that are at such a great distance. And what's great about it is the kids are really comfortable with that kind of technology, so doing video conferencing is probably right up their alley for that kind of technology for confirmation class or whatever. Right. Thinking about connecting classrooms, perhaps now's the time for teachers to be planning for next year and making some partnerships with other Lutheran elementary schools and connecting their classrooms for different projects so that the children see that the world is a lot smaller than their little vision of it in their particular town and their particular school, but that they can reach out to other students across the Senate or across the world even with some cameras in the classroom. So lots of possibilities there.
I've been spending a lot of time with the LATTE team, which is our Latin American traveling teachers who are involved in pre-seminary and seminary training for potential workers within the church. Our Hispanic-speaking workers, and they spend a lot of time and a lot of money traveling from their location to different countries within South America and the Dominican Republic and really all over the place, and they're hoping to use video conferencing to certainly save some money, but maybe even make the face-to-face, as it were, and we'll call it kind of virtual face-to-face, more frequent so that they can continue the work without interruption. And that's been certainly a challenge for them as they're trying to find time to get to these locations and meet regularly with these students. And they're really hoping that video conferencing will be a nice component to their online learning approach, and they're going to be taking some nice steps toward that this summer, creating some curriculum and some materials, and then hopefully next fall or winter they'll be able to roll this out, and maybe the Lord would bless, you know, their work using video conferencing. We've even seen some wonderful blessings with interactions with world missionaries. Sally, you, I think, were in attendance at a mission and ministry conference. Was it last year, 2 years ago? I was there as well, where a missionary from Taiwan was able to speak to the seminary class. In fact, a whole gym full of participants of mission and ministry at the seminary, and essentially just like he was there.
That's right. It was a really cool thing. They had his picture projected up on a large screen in the gymnasium, and then they had a camera set up and a microphone so the students could come up and converse directly with him, ask him questions and things, and he could see them. It was really kind of funny because he knew most of the students, so as they're approaching the camera, he's like, oh, is that so-and-so I see there? You know, it was just a really cool experience, and there he was on the other side of the world and leading us, you know, in this discussion that they were having at the Mission and Ministry Conference. So just an amazing thing to be a part of. I know some of our Wealth congregations have done similar things, connecting with their missionaries. Perhaps specific missionaries they're supporting with the Mission Partners Program or something like that, where they've actually invited them to Bible class on a Sunday morning and used some video conferencing tools to bring them right into their home congregation and have them there to speak to the members of their congregation about the work done in their mission setting. Just some amazing things. And again, I just keep pointing to that flattening world, the fact that we can make these connections and do this kind of live conversation is just an amazing thing to be part of.
And I'm sure over time, as this technology matures and becomes more commonplace within ministry settings, we're going to find more and more ways to use it, and hopefully, you know, more and more opportunities to spread the gospel through it. So there are many applications. Let's talk a little bit about the technology. As I mentioned at the top of the show or the top of this conversation, things have come a long way, even in the last couple years. One of the reasons is the increase in bandwidth that's available to most people. The numbers are skyrocketing, and that is one thing that is necessary right now still, to use effective video conferencing, to include voice, and maybe we should define what we're talking about when we talk about video conferencing. Essentially, it's the ability to sit in front of your computer and have the person on the other end see you and hear you without the use of a telephone. all through the computer, through an attached webcam, and through either a headset or an internal microphone or an external microphone, and that's basically it. So those are the tools that you need. You need the broadband connection. You need a, I would suggest, kind of a middle-of-the-road webcam. You don't need to go really, really high-end, because remember, this is being transmitted over the internet, so it's not necessarily broadcast quality, and the picture doesn't need to be that big if it's just a one-on-one. Now, if you get into other settings with classrooms, you may want to upgrade those kinds of things. But if it's just one-on-one or just a couple people or three or four people involved in the conference, you know, a middle-of-the-road webcam is just fine. If you look back on Episode 9, and we'll put another link to this in our show notes, I recommend a couple webcams that would be good for this kind of application. So take a look at that. And then you need software. And that's the last component. So let's talk a little bit about some of the different kinds of software that you can get for this kind of video conferencing. First of all, there's the traditional, what I would call the one-on-one type video conferencing tools. And perhaps one of the most popular is Skype, which is what Sally and I are using right now to converse. Now, we're not using video. We're just using the audio portion. But Skype has a fairly robust video conferencing component that works really well. And that's when we talked about Pastor John Lorenz talking to the seminarians at Mission and Ministry, that's what he was using, and that's what was running on the seminary campus as well. Pretty smooth, requires pretty low bandwidth, and one of the nice things about Skype, you can be behind a firewall or a router, and it still works. Skype has figured out how to kind of get around some of those things, and it doesn't become overly technical.
It is very easy to use, and also a great, obviously, voice over IP, a great telephone alternative. If you don't want to turn on the video camera or whatever, you certainly can use it for the audio only. So the fact that it has the multiple uses makes it, you know, very appealing.
And absolutely free as well, if both both sides have Skype installed, which you would need, of course, to do video conferencing. One thing about video conferencing, you can't really mix and match what each person has on their end. So if you want a video conference with somebody, they need to have the same software you have. And there's a whole bunch of others in this, what I would call this one-on-one category. Skype is just one, probably the most popular. There's something called CamFrog at CamFrog. I believe it's CamFrog.com. Fairly new offering that basically does the same thing. There's web-based ones. And there's a whole suite of instant messenger add-ons, for instance, MSN or Live Messenger, it's called now. AIM, AOL Instant Messenger, has it. Yahoo. And if you're on the Mac, all of you that are on the Mac know that there's a tool called iChat, which is not just a chat tool, but also incorporates video, and you can do some cool effects in typical Mac fashion. So that's one whole area, and those are all free, essentially. You can sign up for those. You can typically chat over those as well, but you can use the video tool as well. So those are one-on-one. Then there's a whole other category that would allow multiple participants in a video conferencing solution. Now, you can go really high-end here, and a couple years ago, that was the only option that you had. You had to use something like a Polycom system or a VTEL system. And these are the systems that corporations use because they need high availability, high reliability. And these systems run in the thousands of dollars. And you need professionals to come in and set them up who charge money as well. But they're really rock solid and they work well. But that's, I would suggest that most congregations or most ministry applications don't need to go that high end. So here's a couple, one pay and one fairly free. And I say fairly free because there's a licensed version as well. One of them is EPOP by Wired Red, and that's wiredred.com. And that is the system that is being used right now by Wisconsin Lutheran Child and Family Service. We're going to hear from Dan Numundson in just a minute talking about what they're doing with video conferencing for online counseling. And they use this EPOP system. There is a fee for that, but it's fairly stable and very secure, which is what online counseling needs. And then one that we're using for our Latin American missionaries and we're suggesting for use by other boards and committees here in the Synod office is a product called VSEE. That's VSEE.com. And that works extremely well. They've kind of created and a logarithm that really compresses the video, but you can't tell that they're doing that. So the video doesn't take a lot of bandwidth. You still need a broadband connection, DSL or cable modem or something like that. But you can have multiple windows open. It kind of maxes itself out, at least the free version, at 3 or 4 participants. But the audio quality is great, and it has some web conferencing features as well. So you can share screens, you can share PowerPoints, you can share your desktop, you can transmit files. There's a chat function. Works extremely well. You can go picture in picture. You can go full screen. So there's lots of features for free through this technology called VC. We had Sally, you were on VC when we were talking, training the Latin American missionaries, and it was just it was pretty much, right out of the box, it worked.
That's right. I was able to do some cool camera adjustments so I could zoom in on you guys or pull back and see the entire room. And then I was also able to share my computer screen. So as I was training them on different technologies that we use for distance ed at the Synod, they could see my computer, watch my mouse as I was working on it. You know, all of those kind of things that you get with kind of that web conferencing layer, all of the desktop sharing, which makes training and communication just super easy. It was a quick install and just very easy to get up and going with the software and very intuitive to use.
Yeah, one thing about VC is that it allows you, if you have the right camera set up, and there are pretty moderately priced cameras that allow remote control operation through a technology called VISCA, through an interface called VISCA. And it allows me, if Sally and I were video conferencing now, I could control her camera, or she could control my camera. So if I were out of the screen and I'm moving around, she could move the camera to follow me. Now, typically, that's not as necessary if you're doing one-on-one, but it's great for a classroom setting. So if somebody's tuning into a classroom, so if Sally were running a class there in Sleepy Eye and I was tuning in and wanted to view what was going on, I could move around the conference room or the classroom to see the board or the teacher or wherever I wanted to go. So I could feel a lot more a part of what's going on. And that's really what's where video conferencing needs to go. You need to feel as much a part of the action, quote unquote, as you possibly can. So that's probably enough of the technology and the applications. One real life example of this is what Wisconsin Lutheran Child and Family Service is doing with the technology and video conferencing in particular, and that's through online distance counseling. Let's listen to our interview with Dan Numanson, a distance counselor and the program's operation director at Wisconsin Lutheran Child and Family Service. Joining us today on the Wells Tech Podcast is Dan Numanson, who is the, I think I have this right, Dan, Program Operations Director at Wisconsin Lutheran Child and Family Service.
Right, exactly.
Thanks for joining us. Wanted to get you on the show. I thought about this for some time, and Dan and I go way back when he was probably in high school yet, when I was serving at Salem in Milwaukee, and his dad was pastor there as well. I'd heard that, and Dan and I had talked about the stuff that Dan is doing with distance counseling, and thought this would be a great topic for our podcast. And now that it's kind of prime time, as we saw an article in Forward in Christ, thought it would be a great time to get Dan on. But maybe for our listeners, Dan, it would be helpful for you to outline for them exactly what Wisconsin Lutheran Child and Family Service is, and then ultimately your responsibilities there.
Absolutely. I'll share a brief update, and thanks again for the invitation, and it's
sure.
A pleasure to be here with you. What is Wisconsin Lutheran Child and Family Service? Very quickly, we're an independent nonprofit social service organization that's affiliated with the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. We're headquartered in the Milwaukee area. We provide services such as services for our seniors. We operate a licensed care facility, a nursing home, an assisted living facility here in Milwaukee. We have a network of Christian counselors and Christian counseling offices in Wisconsin, certified outpatient clinics in Milwaukee, West Bend, Oak Creek, Fond du Lac, and Appleton, And then finally, through our Christian Leadership Training area, we offer two ministry programs to the Wells, Peer Leadership Training and Faith Stepping Stones. And if you want more information on the organization, just visit our website at WLCFS.org.
Now, Faith Stepping Stones, I've seen publicized, at least. Is that program that you're trying to highlight?
Yes, yeah. It's a wonderful family ministry program where we train congregations and the leaders in congregations to offer these Christian-based seminars for parents to their own members and then people in the community. And we've been doing it since May of 2005, so we're pushing up into May here, our anniversary time. And we've trained, I think we're up to 576 people now.
Wow, that's great.
So, yeah. We offer regional trainings around the country, so that's going really well.
Wonderful. So as program operations director, you have oversight over the kind of the day-to-day things that go on within those programs?
Exactly, yeah. I serve in a variety of roles, and including member assistance program coordinator, which is, I think, the program that we're going to focus on here today. And again, just a little bit of my background. I'm a proud graduate of Wisconsin Lutheran College and Trinity University. My background's in counseling psychology, so I am a licensed professional counselor here in Wisconsin and Michigan, distance credentialed counselor, and a certified employee assistance professional as well.
Okay. So let's get to the topic here of distance counseling. I assume that you saw a need and a challenge there in providing counseling to cover a fairly wide geographic area. There's obviously need for counseling across our country and potentially across the world that the Wells covers. Can you walk us through what the thinking was as you were considering a program like this?
You bet. And that's exactly the issue, is that our Wells members are scattered throughout the country and even the world, and they're not all within driving distance of the Milwaukee or Wisconsin area. So every day here at WLCFS, we'll get calls from Wells members or called workers asking us if we know of any Wells counselors in their area. And unless they're calling from the Midwest, chances are there aren't any Wells counselors in their area, or, you know, there may not even be a Christian counselor within 300-400 miles of their location if they're in a rural area. So we have a desire to serve our Wells members, and we're now using a distance counseling modalities to make that happen. And we're very excited about that. What we do just in general is we contract directly with individual Wells schools or congregations and offer counseling and other services directly to their members mainly through a video-assisted modality.
Mm-hmm.
Congregation can pay us a monthly fee, and then the members receive the services at no direct cost to them. Okay, it's the congregation that will pay and not the individual members.
No, I was just going to say, I'm just kind of curious about the technical pieces that have to be in place to make all that work. Does the congregation have to invest in equipment or a particular internet connection or anything like that?
Yep, that's an important piece. The equipment is pretty standard. We can use a basic webcam. What we do when we contract, start up with an organization, is I'll actually go there and basically bring along a desktop computer, a monitor, and a webcam, and, you know, set that up for them, which is, you know, it's pretty standard devices. But the important thing is, obviously, you have to have that high-speed connection of some kind. We run a T1 out of our office, but they have to have, you know, they can't use dial-up or DSL, of course. They've got to have some kind of high-speed connection. That's the most important thing, to have a very kind of a seamless video interaction, is that internet speed. Good question.
So technically, you've got, you know, it's a hub and spoke model where your counselors are sitting in Milwaukee, or I suppose they could sit anywhere. It really doesn't matter if they've got a high speed connection as well. But it's a one-on-one session, so that you've got, you know, the video and the audio all going over the internet. There's no telephone involved?
Only telephone as backup in case there are problems with an audio connection, or, you know, in case there's some kind of technical difficulty where we can't proceed using the video software. Mm-hmm. The telephone is just there as backup.
So it's pretty modest on each end, other than the nice broadband connection that you need. Really, just a webcam and a headset with a decent microphone is pretty much what you need.
Yep, standard stuff. In fact, when another piece of equipment that we do take there is an external microphone, so that the client doesn't have to wear a clumsy headset of any kind, or worry about their hair getting messed up or anything like that.
So like a speakerphone or something?
Yep. It's just an external microphone and external speakers. So really, the client simply has to is sit in front of the monitor and talk to the therapist or the counselor. They don't have to type anything. They don't have to have really any, they don't have to be adept at all at any kind of computer technology. They just have to sit and interact with the counselor.
And for all intent and purposes, it's the same format as a regular face-to-face counseling session, so you're not making some concessions here because of the technology, or do you try and keep the session shorter as a result, or how is that working?
No, generally about the same amount of time as you would see a face-to-face counselor, about 50 minutes per session. All of our counselors are distance credentialed, so they actually went through a credentialing program and learned how to offer counseling through video, over the telephone, even through text-based means. So we're very sensitive to the member's needs and their potential anxiety about talking to a counselor through video, because at first sense, even myself, I'm mid-30s, it kind of seems a bit strange, but what we found is that within a matter of minutes, any kind of anxiety or apprehension that they may have brought with them to their first session is dissipated. It does not take long to feel very comfortable talking with someone using the video-assisted means.
Hmm. So, Dan, I guess the million-dollar question is it working for you? Or have you had any major challenges? Or sounds like the counselees are kind of accepting the method. Anything that's a stumbling block in the way of this?
Yeah, and the Lord's just been really good to us. It really blessed our initial efforts here. We started with a handful of organizations. The counselees are definitely benefiting and enjoying the process. Our counselors who have gone through the training and are offering services have really enjoyed it. The technology platform that we've built has been working very well. I guess the only stumbling block that we have is we can't offer services to young children. Well, our cutoff is at age 14, so we serve people 14 and over, because the type of counseling that's usually done with kids revolves around like play therapy and play counseling, and that can't be easily done through video kind of connection. So when there are needs for children, what we do is we usually consult with the parents and meet with the parents and give them some tips and ideas on how to handle their child's behavior. So there is a limit to what we can do through the system. We can't do everything that we would do if it were face-to-face.
In the Ford and Christ article, by the way, if you want to read a little bit more about this, it's in the May issue of Ford and Christ, 2008, pages 20 and 21. Talk about the first organization to get involved, and that was Open Bible in the Apache Reservation out in Arizona. How did that kind of come to be, and what that sounds like a neat thing and maybe kind of a natural thing that obviously we can't get counselors out there real easily, but sounds like a natural for them.
Right. Yeah, that was our initial organization, and they officially started back in November of last year. And the program was really created just for organizations like theirs. Open Bible is located in the White River Apache Reservation, and we've offered a variety of programs for them down there through the years, and we've had a good relationship with them. And the problem down there is not only do they not have Wells counselors, but really the resources available for their members and for the people on the reservation are very, very limited. A lot of the counselors that are available are many hours away, and that kind of drive and transportation isn't always available. and the type of needs that they have down there really require someone on site. So we've set up the system at the Open Bible Church down there. They have a counseling center. It's a separate building where they're going to even open up a little bookstore to become self-supporting. Their members come into the center. Someone there on site basically turns on the computer, gets it ready, and we offer the counseling that way, and it's been very beneficial. It's really worked well.
So, Dan, what's the percentage right now of this, what I would call distance counseling or virtual counseling versus your traditional?
That we offer through Christian Family Counseling here?
Right. What's the percentage?
Right now, because we're so new, we're just getting this sort of off the ground, we have five organizations that we're working with, and we're hoping to expand that in the near future. So I couldn't tell you exactly what right now a vast majority of our counseling is still done face-to-face, but we hope to change that so that we can reach more of our Wells members across the country.
That's really the future of the program. That's how you see it evolving, just simply growing what you've got.
Right, right. Yep, we're bringing on more staff members. We'll train them in the procedures, and the more staff members we bring on to serve the program, the more organizations we can take on. So we're always looking for excellent Wells counselors to join our staff.
And if a congregation was interested in more information about getting involved with the program, how would they go about getting that information?
Just contact me directly here at the organization, and what I will do is describe the services that we have available. There are other services beyond just counseling. We can offer educational presentations either on-site or through the video system. We've tried that on several occasions, and that's worked out very well. We offer just general consultation. Also, if you kind of think of it as sort of a cafeteria-style plan, not every organization is going to be able to afford counseling services for all their members. Perhaps they just want to start off focusing on making the counseling or educational services available just to their called or hired staff, or just a smaller subgroup of their organization. So that's why I encourage organizations that are interested, give me a call. I'll describe what's available. Try to meet their needs and their budget in order to move forward.
Dan, really appreciate your time today, and certainly we wish the Lord's richest blessings on this endeavor. There seems like a lot of possibilities here, and anything that we can do to share God's word and use God's word in ministry opportunities like such as these is got to be something that we should be thinking about and pursuing. And thanks for all the work you do at Wisconsin Lutheran Child and Family Service.
Absolutely. It's a pure joy to offer a program that meets the members' needs and serves as an adjunct to the good pastoral counseling that members are receiving. So we're looking forward to expanding it, and I thank you very much for having me on the show.
Our pleasure. Sally, it was very encouraging to hear Dan talk about what they're able to do with video conferencing and online counseling. Obviously something they couldn't do a couple years ago, and perhaps really expanding their reach and their ability to help Christians.
Certainly very important work. Very exciting to see that they can reach out in this way.
And I think they're kind of pioneering this area, certainly within our circles, and that's neat to see that they're taking this step. And certainly we would wish that the Lord would continue to bless those activities as they're expanding their reach and doing some things that they probably couldn't do otherwise. Up next, our tips or picks of the week. Sally, what's your tip or pick of the week today?
Well, I'm once again giving you one with teachers in mind somewhat. I had a request from someone to find some school year calendar templates. They were looking at the coming school year, 2008-2009, and actually were doing some searching out on the Microsoft site looking for templates, and they didn't have any available as of a week or two ago for the coming school year. All their templates were for the current school year. And so I did some searching on the web and came across a great website. I'll put a link in the show notes. It's actually the Calendar Nexus or something to that effect. But there's a very specific page on this website that I want to link you to that has school year calendar templates. And it has it in PDF format, so you can get each month of the school year or an overall total school year template that has all the months on one page. But it also has the files available in Excel format, which is what I thought was really powerful. So you can download an Excel version of all of these files, and they even have different color schemes to them and different features where you can put in the school year you're looking for, and the template will automatically generate the months that are part of that school year. So just a real handy little utility page that I wanted to share with everyone, particularly those who are planning for the new school year. So I'll have a link in my show notes to the academic year calendar.
Thanks, Sally. Sounds great. My pick of the week is it's actually a kind of a little bit geeky, but and it's really not available for general use yet, although you can get in on the beta. And that's a product from Microsoft called Live Mesh. This is how they describe what it is on their website. Live Mesh puts you at the center of your digital world, seamlessly connecting you to the people, devices, programs and information you care about, available wherever you happen to be. Now, that's marketing speak, basically, for a tool, an online tool, that allows you to get at all of your information regardless of what computer it sits on. Here's how it works. You go to mesh.com, that's M-E-S-H.com, and you have to join the beta if you want to kind of kick the tires on this. You have to apply to join the beta, or I think you can contact me. I've got five free invites I can give out, so the first five I'll give those out. But I asked to join the beta, and I got an invitation the next day, so I think it's pretty easy to get an invitation at mesh.com. But basically, you go on their site, you log in, and you'll need a Windows Live login. Their whole suite of online products is called the Live suite of products. So you need a login for that. But then basically what you can do is you can add as many devices, what they call devices, as you want. So the computer that you use at home, the computer that you use at work can all be devices. They're developing device connectors for Macs. They're developing device connectors for mobile phones. And then the final device is this, what they call this device in the cloud, basically a space on the internet that'll hold 5 gigabytes of your information. And essentially what Mesh does is it synchronizes the information from all those devices. So if you have information that's sitting on your home computer that you need from work, or on your work computer that you need from home, Mesh allows you to synchronize that information so you have access to it wherever you are. So you determine what gets synced. You don't have to sync everything. But a neat component of this is what they call Live Desktop. So you can open a browser or open a little tool that you've downloaded on your, let's say, your home computer, and you can remote control the other computer. It's like basically you're like seeing the screen of the other computer, even though it's at the office or at home, and you can use programs on it, you can share files on it, copy files back and forth, just like you're working on that machine. And this is all free, so you can share information amongst computers. You can also invite friends, family, coworkers to view certain sections or folders that you've got online. So if you're sharing photos or you're sharing files, you just need to invite them. They can log in if you give them the right login and password, and they have access to whatever you want to share with it. So it's I think this is in the very early stages, but I've been really, really impressed with what Microsoft has done here, and I think this is where they're going. This is the ability to connect all of the things that they do on the desktop through the cloud and then back to whatever other devices that you use. Many of us operate now on multiple computers at home or at work, at school, wherever, and this is going to make it real easy. One of the neatest things about this, similar to the way Skype works, is that it will not be hindered by routers or firewalls or, you know, other network issues. It just essentially works no matter where your computer is on the network or where it is in the world. It'll allow you to have access to that information. So mesh.com, Live Mesh it's called.
Sounds like some very exciting technology. I think we probably all invest a lot of time and brain power into just keeping up with our digital lives and where things are and you know, oh, that's on the other computer, that's something I did at work or whatever, and being able to just seamlessly integrate all that would be a very powerful thing.
Yeah. So don't put all your eggs in this basket since it is in a beta state right now, so it could change drastically. You could lose information, etc. Maybe I'll give an update a few months from now as the program progresses, give you a little bit of an update, but I think it's really, really promising. This is one of the things that I think Microsoft has done really well right out of the box. So we'll see, you know, where it goes. Our Wells.net feature is next. Sally, what would we like to talk about in the Wells.net world?
Well, I wanted to point our listeners to the World Mission blog. Our World Missions span 24 countries and 28 languages, over 77,000 baptized members, and we have just an incredible team of missionaries spanning the globe, and now they're able to tell their stories firsthand at missions.wells.net. The website is basically their personal observations in the mission fields. It's organized by the different continents where we work and the different mission fields. So if you're interested in a particular country, you can drill right down and find all the posts from that particular country. People that come there are able to read the post, obviously, but also leave comments and basically have a conversation with the missionaries that are out there doing this work. And there's interesting biographical information about all the writers on the blog as well. I took some time to dig through the site a little bit and familiarize myself, and I think it's really well done. Wasn't involved in any of the development of this, so I'm, you know, kind of an unbiased observer here, but you can very easily get to the recent post, read the comments that are part of the site. There's an RSS feed available for those of you that use RSS. You can receive notification anytime something new is posted to the site. And it's, again, spanning the missionaries, but also there's posts by the missionary wives, by those serving in places like our medical missions, so different nurses and administrators, things like that. They all have the opportunity to contribute here, and I think it's just a really incredible mix of voices that are part of this. There's photos, so it's very visually appealing, lots to look at here, and I just recommend you going and checking it out. Again, it's at missions.wells.net.
Beautifully done site. We should give kudos where kudos are due to two individuals. One of them is Nikki Krushel from World Missions. She had a lot to do with the construction of this site, determining what should be on the front page and what kinds of things should go there. And our own web services manager, Julie Duran, who was really putting all this stuff together, doing the design and making this all work together. Those two ladies just did a wonderful job, and I think will truly bless their work as we, who don't get to go to mission fields, can read about what they're doing, can see videos, can read what the missionaries are writing. So missions.wells.net, great site. Mm-hmm. We had already mentioned the streaming services that are coming up. Just a reminder, if you'd like to know what we're doing for live streaming over the next couple weeks, go to streams.wells.net, and you can see the whole schedule there. Sally, we have something else in the area of district conventions, don't we?
That's right. Coming up very quickly now, each of the 12 districts of Wells will be having their district conventions, and you can get dates and locations of those conventions online at wells.net/jump. /DI conventions for district conventions. So look that information up online if you're interested in dates and locations of those upcoming conventions. Most of them are in early June. In addition, this week the report to the 12 districts was published. All congregations and male called workers should receive a copy of the hard copy book in the mail this week. But the entire document is also posted online at wells.net/jump/RTTD for report to the 12 districts. That's two T's in there. There's also a few supplemental reports, things that didn't make it into the print copy. And again, all parts of the book are there. You can download the entire book if you want it in one big file. It's all in PDF format, so it should be fairly easy for you to get the book and be able to access it online.
Yep.
That's at wells.net/jump/RTTD.
So if you want to know what the Synod has done or is planning to do, that is definitely the document to look at, report to the 12 districts. Community feedback is next. Sally, did we have any listeners talking to us this week?
Actually, a couple of people made contact with us this week, a couple of listeners that we were excited to hear from. One was Kyle Reese, who wrote to us about a little bit about the sound quality on the show, some feedback that we were very interested to get, and if there's others that are having any problems with the show sound quality, we'd like to hear from you. We do our best to make it all even and smooth for you to listen to so it's not uncomfortable to the ear, but we are always happy to get feedback and do our best to improve on anything that we need to.
Yeah, I'd be the first to admit. It's okay, Sally. I would certainly be the first to admit I am no sound engineer. So anybody who's got information out there that would help us, certainly feedback on what they're hearing is helpful to us because we may not always account for all the different ways that you're listening to us. And if there are any sound engineers out there, certainly give me a call. I'd love to talk to you.
Yeah, this podcasting is a whole new world for us, so we're learning as we go and enjoying the process, but we certainly have room for improvement. He also had a few ideas for shows, upcoming shows, and we'd love to hear from other listeners if they have ideas about things you'd like for us to talk about on our show. Please send those in. We also heard from Cindy Krieger, and she was asking about receiving email notification of our new shows being posted online. That's something that we've done fairly regularly on the Wells Tech listserv. We haven't talked about the listserv in a while, Martin, but that's a way that people can subscribe and have techie kind of conversations amongst the other Wells members who are interested in technical topics as well. So occasionally we'll post show information on the Wells Tech listserv. It'll go out to all the subscribers, but we don't always do that on a weekly basis. We don't want to clog up their email too much. But just so our listeners know, new shows do come out every Wednesday, and there's an RSS feed available. If you aren't using RSS technology, I encourage you to look into it because it's just an amazing technology that'll go out and search the website for anything new on a regular basis and notify you as soon as new things are added to the website. So you can have it tell you when new things are available. And again, that's typically every Wednesday morning, fairly early in the morning on Wednesdays, if we're doing our job right. And you can look for a new show at that time each week.
Great. That about does it this week, Sally. Great show. We will conclude, as we always do, with a Wells featured artist. And our featured artist this week is Windy Sue Fleege at WindySue.com from the album The Instrument, her song Teach Me. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
There are people all around me living in despair, floating through their days but never going anywhere. The darkness wants to own them and keep them from the light. More than anything, they need you, Lord, to give them sight. Every day I see them, tired and confused. Though only you can reach them, I'm yours to be used. Teach me, teach me. Thank you.